So the fourth Sunday of Easter is called Good Shepherd Sunday. And the lectionary always incorporates readings about shepherds and sheep. And hearkening back to my Sunday school days, I tend to picture fluffy white little puffball sheep baaing gently in a meadow in the shadow of an alpine mountain, kind of like, you know, the beginning scene of The Sound of Music, except with no spinning Maria. But the Good Shepherd knows each sheep and loves and protects them. I used to tell a version of this story to a Sunday school class, and I used a little wooden sheepfold that I have brought today for you guys to look at. And it has a little fence around it that now works. It was broken, but Madeline helped me fix it this morning. And it has little wooden sheep, and I would get the sheep, and I would put one of them, each one, into the sheepfold as it was called by the shepherd. And all the kids that were in my Sunday school class, I didn't have to tell them that, but they knew it, that Jesus was the good shepherd, and that they were the sheep. And I never said those words, but they knew it. They got it, and their four-year-old minds that they were part of a flock and loved and cared for. They understood that Jesus was the one that loved them and took care of them. And then there was this kid named Paxton. And he was the kind of kid that asked tons of questions. And this story just blew his little mind. And he raised his hand and he said, "I don't want to be a sheep." And I asked him, "Why?" And he answered, "Because they do dumb things, and they're always getting lost, and they're getting stuck in things, and I met one at the zoo last year, and it smelled weird." And I didn't really know how to answer him. I didn't have a ready answer. But to tell you the truth, I don't really want to be a sheep either. I mean, they're cute animals. I love all animals. But I think I'd rather identify with a more crafty animal, like a wolf or a black bear or, heck, even a raccoon. But to go back to what Paxton's summary of sheep is, do dumb things, always getting lost and stuck, maybe sometimes smelly. A lot of us, including me, are most definitely sheep. John 10 involves more about sheep than just our passage today, and not only discusses the good shepherd and sheep, but the gate to the sheepfold, thieves. And this week, he talks about wolves as a threat. All of John 10 comes right after the story that we don't get in the lectionary this year. We got it last year, but it's the story in which Jesus healed the man that was born blind. Does anybody remember that story? A blind man is in the street, and Jesus makes some mud, and he puts it on this guy's eyes, and he tells him to wash it off. And when he does, he can see. And the Pharisees are really ticked off about this because the restoration of this man's sight, blindness being caused by someone else's sin in their estimation, is just too much for them to handle. And they question his truth, so they throw him out of the worshiping community. So Jesus finds this man later in the street. Now he can see. And he calls him by name, and he brings him into the fold of his movement and love and wholeness as a convert, as a disciple. Jesus admonishes the Pharisees for being blind, even though they can physically see. And then Jesus launches into his story of what a true shepherd is versus those that don't care for their flock like a hired hand. In the fourth gospel, the good shepherd is the one that takes care of his sheep and knows each one of them. He doesn't run off when the wolves come. He more than just knows their names, because in fact, a hired hand could put name tags on a sheep. But the good shepherd knows his flock for who they are, the rebellious sheep, the cute, fluffy sheep, the sick sheep, the sheep who don't really identify as sheep, the sheep that are timid or make bad decisions, the sheep that get lost or stuck or smell weird. And all the sheep, even if they have on a wolf costume, are known by the shepherd because they have a relationship with him. Jesus says there are other sheep out there and that he wants to call them into the fold too, not just the ones that go to church every Sunday, but the ones that are lost and stuck, ones that are just starting to see for the first time. He calls us into a community that he gives his life for. And in this community, he knows each one of us, and he wants us to know his voice. He wants us to know the peace and security and generosity of his love. He wants us to know that we're never alone. He knows that no matter how hard we try not to belong, to disguise ourselves, no matter how we hide and make mistakes or get stuck, he knows us and he calls us. The generosity of Christ's love then extends to our relationships with our brothers and sisters and the body of Christ and the whole family of God. And we share our lives as Jesus shared his life with us. So for those of you who still might be reticent to self-identify as a sheep, Paxton and I understand, but it doesn't change the power of the idea of Christ as an attentive and inclusive shepherd who wants to care for his whole flock. Pardon me. As a flock, we share in the joy of resurrection in this Easter season, walking next to each other, shepherding one another. I know our community, the church, sometimes might feel more like a barnyard than an alpine meadow. But we're all in it together. The peace of true belonging comes in each other in Jesus, no matter what kind of creature you are. Amen. And